Welcome to the Pre-Post Film Review. I'm Matt Stevenson.
And I'm John Asquith. The way we do things here at the Pre-Post Film Review is we talk about a film over two different time periods. So we watch a trailer for a film and record our thoughts and impressions and maybe make a few cheeky little predictions about what might happen. And then we come back after we've seen the film and we record a full-length, spoiler-filled review of the film. And I definitely mean spoiler-filled. We just jump straight in. So if you haven't seen the film we're talking about, don't listen. So this episode, we're going to be talking about the new Pablo Larraín film, Jackie.
People like to believe in fairy tales.
You ready?
Of course.
And you?
I believe that the characters we read about on the page end up being more real than the men who stand beside us. I'm saying Jack. Jack, can you hear me? Jack, I love you, Jack.
Okay, John, we've just watched the trailer for the film Jackie by director Pablo Larraín. This is actually, I'm curious, have you seen any of Pablo's other films? And what do you make of this film, Jackie, based on the trailer we just watched?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen any of Pablo's other films. I was just looking before, but no, I haven't.
Right.
So, but based on the trailer, I'm pretty excited for this. I know only the broad strokes of this story, you know, about JFK and the assassination. I really know next to nothing about Jackie, his wife. So I'm interested to see this just on a level to know more about that sort of historical stuff. But also, I think this movie looks amazing, pretty much. I think the cinematography just looks incredible in this movie. It looks like it was shot in the 60s. Like, it looks awesome. I love the look of it, and I have to assume that they shot it on film because it really, really looks like that. I think Natalie Portman seems to give a great, incredible performance. Obviously, being the center of the film, she has to carry it, and it seems like she's going to be able to do that. It also seems to have this weird kind of darkness to it, sort of horror imagery is the wrong sort of thing, but this sort of dark, I don't know, it reminds me almost of like Black Swan or something like that. Like a woman unraveling or something and dealing with all this sort of pressure. And there even seems to be a few shots of that sort of Darren Aronofsky, you know, behind the head kind of following someone, sort of things in there. I'm really excited for this. What do you think, Matt?
I agree. Like, the thing that jumped out at me the most was the filmmaking. Like you said, just the look and feel of it feels super authentic and very, very impressive. I agree that the tone of it is not really what I expected, but in a very good way. Like, there's like an intensity to it and a... Yeah, I know what you mean when you sort of say bordering on horror. Like, it's definitely not horror, but it's kind of like this psychological thriller almost. I mean, in a very loose sense. I think there's a quote that gets put up on the screen at some point about it being psychologically intense or something like that. And I guess that makes sense, like you said, in terms of being a portrait of a woman dealing with this tragic moment in her life and how she's mentally unraveling while at the same time having to put on this persona for the public where she has to seem like completely under control and, you know, first lady-esque during the tragedy. I don't know, that all just seems like such ripe subject matter for a great, interesting character study and kind of not the tone that I would have expected from a film based on the JFK assassination. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You'd think it would be more tear-jerky, and this does not look tear-jerky. Yes. This looks intense and...
Yeah, unsettling.
Unsettling. That's the perfect word for it, yeah. Unsettling.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And like you said, Natalie Portman looks great. And I don't know, I feel like I've seen her in a lot of things, but this looks like it's her kind of crack at an Oscar, or, you know, one of those big performances that she's going to be remembered for. She's finally getting to, like, flex some acting muscle, which maybe she's done before and I just, you know, it's slipping my mind or I haven't seen it, but I'm kind of excited to see if she has the chops to pull something like this off, which it looks like she does from the trailer.
Mm. Well, we're both pretty excited for this one.
Yeah, I think so. I have seen one of Pablo Larraín's other films, The Club.
Okay.
Which is a film about a house full of disgraced pedophile priests, which is uplifting subject matter, as you can imagine.
Yeah, yep.
I liked it. I mean, it got quite good festival buzz, I think, last year or the year before when it was showing. I didn't love it, but I thought it was solid. I sort of can't see many parallels in terms of style with this. I guess there's sort of like an intensity and a somberness to that film that could sort of be mirrored in this, but this looks much more assured and intense and kind of bold than The Club, which was a very low-key, kind of lo-fi festival film. But I mean, I think that sort of bodes well in the fact that he is not afraid to tackle confronting or controversial subject matter in perhaps a way that's not conventional. I mean, the way the priests are presented in The Club, not that they're presented sympathetically, but just sort of their situation and them being confined to this small house in this small town and the kind of effects that has on them and their reputation in the town and the kind of this secret that, you know, people aren't meant to know why they're there. And I guess there is kind of like a psychological intensity with that film as well, in terms of them dealing with what they've done and one of their victims who sort of starts coming along and harassing them and things. So I guess he's kind of got some experience dealing with that kind of intense psychological subject matter, which I think is a good thing. But yeah, I'm excited for this. I really am. And it sort of came out of nowhere. I mean, it's got festival buzz, but other than that, it's certainly not something I was sort of looking forward to last year or anything. It's a great little surprise.
People need their history. They need to know that real men actually lived here.
I've grown accustomed to a great divide between what people believe and what I know to be real.
And how would you like him remembered?
There should be more horses, more soldiers.
Why are you doing this, Mrs. Kennedy?
There's more crying, more cameras.
This is making us look like barbarians.
What's wrong with you?
You don't have to do this.
I will march with Jack.
Freeze,
alone, if necessary. I'm not the First Lady anymore.
Okay, Matt, here we are. We've just seen the film Jackie. I don't have any jokes to open this one.
It's probably not appropriate anyway, so that's fine.
There's no nothing humorous about what's going on in this movie. We've seen the movie. In our trailer impressions, we were pretty excited for this, I think, or pretty hopeful that it would be an interesting film. So what are your thoughts of Jackie?
My thoughts of Jackie? Yeah, no, I liked this a lot. I probably wouldn't say that I loved it. I think maybe my expectations were a little high, specifically given sort of like the tangents we went off on our trailer discussion about it seeming Darren Aronofsky-esque and kind of like Black Swan, which, I mean, it does to an extent, it touches on things like that, but it's much more subdued, which I guess is more respectful for a true-to-life story. It's not just a fictionalized character, which you can kind of go crazy with. so I think I was perhaps expecting something a little bit more intense. So I was a little bit disappointed in that sense. But other than that, I liked it a lot. The thing I liked the most was the style and what we talked about in the trailer discussion, in that it just looks so of the time. Like, it must have been shot on, like, 16 mil or something. Like, the grainy, like, filmic quality of it. It's just... it instantly transports you back, and it just made me excited to get, like, one of those new Super 8 film cameras and just start shooting stuff.
I had the exact same thought, actually.
Yeah, we just need to do it, John. Like, and it made me also want more films to do that. And I know we have a little bit of a thing with films that, or at least I know I do, that set themselves in a certain period and use modern filmmaking techniques. I mean, it can work sometimes, but a lot of the time it feels disingenuous to what they're trying to pull off. And I think this is the perfect, like, counterpoint to that, whereas shooting on that kind of film stock with the costume and the set design just, like, heightens it and takes it to a completely different level. And I'd love to see more films or more period films use, like, technical limitations like that when creating the period setting, other than just sets and green screens and things, because it feels awesome. So yeah, I mean, I guess overall I liked it. It's not the kind of film that you kind of enjoy. It's quite harrowing and, you know, tough to get through at times, but I was impressed. I was impressed with Natalie Portman's performance. I was impressed with just kind of the choppy narrative structure. Like, it felt, again, of the time, like the 60s and 70s kind of new wave kind of films where you don't have a strict narrative structure and it's more just character-based kind of meandering. And that sounds worse than what I'm trying to say. I just mean that in a positive way. So, yeah, overall positive, but not utterly blown away, I would say. What about you? Did you like it, John?
I'm sort of shaking my head a bit here because I just feel exactly the same way as you, Matt. Like, it's just becoming a bit of a joke in this podcast.
We should just quit now, shouldn't we?
Yeah, seriously. I have a lot of respect for this movie. But like you said, I didn't particularly enjoy watching it. That is because it's not... I mean, it's not really made to be enjoyed necessarily. It's not, there's no, very little hope or humor in the movie, at all. And I, at the same time, that is why I respect it, because it is appropriate for what the character's going through. And I think it did a very good job of, representing sort of grief and how your mind is just a bit fucked up when you lose a loved one. Now, I haven't lost anyone as close as a partner, but obviously, you know, I've lost grandparents and things like that. And you do sort of time hop in your head when you're thinking about them. I think that movie does this really well, is that you'll be thinking of a relatively happy memory about them, and then suddenly you're back at the funeral and it's really sad, and then maybe the last time you spoke to them or something like that. And I thought this was, a very, very well constructed sort of version of that sort of mental state that you go into. But it is tough, you know, a whole movie of that, it wears you down. Which is why, again, I said, I didn't really enjoy it. And I would recommend it with, like, an asterisk to people. Like, you have to be in a certain mood, and this is kind of what it's about. And, it's not something to sit down on a Saturday night with some popcorn or whatever and munch away. And of course, I totally agree about the style. That was the biggest thing for me, along with Natalie Portman's performance, which was just, it's like a one-woman show, you know, like, she's incredible in this. She's really, really good. Let's just say that. But because of the nature of this movie, by the end, with another scene of her breaking down and crying, I must admit, I got fatigued by that. And I sort of logically knew that this is a good performance, but I was removed emotionally by the end because it just pummels you, I think, repeatedly with sort of depressing monologues and people crying. And it's all expertly done, but it does, yeah, it does wear you down. And I think maybe that some people are giving it like 5 stars for that very reason, and I totally understand that. But I can't, say that it wore me down, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, going back to the style, I agree. Like it's just incredible. Like I haven't looked up yet, like what the behind the scenes sort of process was on this, but I'd be very curious, and I'm hoping there's like, you know, a few interviews or something out there, because it just looked awesome. It looked so authentic.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking when I was watching it, like if I sort of didn't know that this was a new film, I could trick myself into thinking it was filmed back in the 60s. It looks so good. And then occasionally they do cut to like newsreel footage, or sometimes there'll be like a wide shot of like the motorcade or the funeral procession or whatever, which is a historical footage. And you can only just tell that it's different. Like it looks basically the same as the rest of the film. They did such a good job of matching that. And yeah, I loved that. And as you said, I thought, cause we're, you know, the same person, Matt, I was thinking of the new Kodak Super 8 camera, which we're, you know, for people listening, is they're bringing back sort of a modern, user-friendly Super 8 camera sometime this year, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
There was an email about the other day. I can't remember if there's a date or not. But we've been talking about that for a while, Matt, and getting one and just, like, playing around with it. And, yeah, this made me excited to sort of shoot some stuff on film, like, just for the sake of it, and just to get back into that mindset and figure out what looks good and, you know, hopefully one day make something with it, because it just looks so beautiful when it's done right. I love it. Yeah, I love that aesthetic. It
looks amazing.
Yeah.
Another thing I really, really loved, which is in sync with the style, was the score, the music. It just...
Oh, yes. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah.
It was great, right? It was
the score was very good. It was, really shrill and kind of creepy and occasionally just like quite abstract.
Yeah.
And again, that really helped with that sort of grief mindset, I think. Mm-hmm. It was almost, I don't think it was ever sappy or...
No, I don't think so.
Like nostalgic or, melodramatic, you know, which it very easily could be with this historical figure and all these people upset and crying and things. It's, it felt very unhinged.
Yeah, I agree, but not in like a bombastic, like crazy way. It was like...
No.
And it felt very of the time too, I think. Like, again, like the use of the film stock, I felt very 60s or 70s or something. There was like a texture to it. And there was one scene specifically I remember thinking about the score. It was like one of the funeral scenes. I think it was the smaller one, not the big one that they have, where it does that amazing aerial shot, but I think there was a smaller one where the sort of the little boy runs off out into the middle, and I think Bobby comes and like grabs him or something. And the score kind of is like this sort of wispy that has like these sort of flutes or some sort of like wind instrument in, like
I know exactly which
throughout it. And
what are you talking about?
I don't know. Yeah. It was amazing. I hadn't heard anything like it, or at least not in a long time.
I
loved it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing a very good job describing it to people who haven't seen the film, but you know what I'm talking about, John.
No, that bit stood out for me. I know what you mean. Those wind instruments that were kind of like, it is hard to describe.
We'll put some in at the end of the episode. So
We should. Yeah, definitely. Did you have any other thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I did like how it kind of delved into the media and sort of representations of people and how people are presented to the world and how, you know, the whole sort of like framing device almost is her having that conversation with the journalist, and she's so precise in what she is going to allow to be printed, and she has this very sort of clear view of how she wants the public to see her. And I mean, in a way, the whole film is about the last moments of JFK's life, or, you know, a lot of the film is about her negotiating and organizing his funeral and the funeral procession and them sort of pushing back against wanting this enormous event and sort of her obsession with mirroring what it was like Lincoln's or one of the great presidents.
Yeah, Lincoln's, like,
funeral procession, and how she wanted him to be remembered and seen. And it's like literally his last sort of interaction with the people, and this is how he's going to be remembered. So I thought that all that was kind of interesting, and it sort of raises weird questions in terms of the film itself, right? Because it's kind of questioning and pushing back on... Well, I felt like the film itself was almost an argument against that kind of meticulous control, because the film takes place in those moments that are outside of that, and it's you're seeing the behind the curtain and her cracking and breaking, which the public doesn't see. But then you like you could like step back and fold in on that further, and like this film is like just yet another representation mythologizing the Kennedys in its own way. So it kind of gets into this weird meta loop that I kind of enjoyed falling down that rabbit hole, which I thought that was interesting, I guess.
Yeah. I thought a similar thing when watching, and I think towards the end there's the journalist, I think Billy Crudup is the actor, says, he has his little speech, like, he says, you'll be remembered or he'll be remembered. There's a distinction there that I should remember, but I can't. But he says something like that. And sort of talks about that. And I was thinking, he says like in decades to come or something. And here we are decades later watching a movie about them.
Yeah.
Like there is definitely that side to it, I think, that the filmmakers are very aware of, which does definitely make it more interesting. And I think seeing that is interesting now in the political climate with, you know, Trump and like just the comparison of how he controls his image, or well, I guess through Twitter or whatever the fuck he does, but like, you know, just like seeing as you said, behind the curtain a bit of how the White House is and how you can control things and the power you have over your image and things like that is just interesting in general, especially given the current political climate.
Yeah, that's a really great point actually, and that I had the weird experience of, I saw it on Friday night, which was like the night where Trump was, or the day, same day Trump got sworn in as the president of the United States. And I just had a weird moment halfway through the film, or whenever it happened in the film, when they are talking about sort of the legacy of JFK and how they could have done more and all the good that they were going to try and do. And it just like, there's this a small moment where I think Jackie Kennedy is talking about how there will be, obviously, there will be presidents after JFK and great presidents who are going to do great things. And it just had this like weird irony to it, knowing that like literally today what just happened, you know? Like,
yeah, I agree.
It felt very odd to be watching
it did. At that time. It did. And there's all, you know, there's all these legacy items in the White House itself, which I didn't know, which is really interesting. Like the Lincoln bedroom. And there's that scene I really liked where she's like, oh, it's peaceful in here. And Bobby Kennedy is like, oh, no, he almost can't stand it in there because it's like, no, but this is like about legacy and we haven't done enough and all this sort of thing. And I mean, this is stepping outside the movie a bit, but it's like, is Donald Trump going to go in that room and like think that, you know what I mean? Like, or is he just going to like piss on the bed? And, you know?
I was going to say, he'd probably get these prostitutes to give him a golden shower or whatever he wants so much.
Yeah. Like, and you know, we don't want to, whatever. I don't care. It is very interesting from that perspective. Like obviously when the film was made, they didn't know it was going to speak to those things exactly. But, the legacy is a theme of it for sure. And so it is interesting to compare that to, whoever is in power, I guess, when you're watching this movie and throughout time, like what does... And going back to sort of what I was saying earlier about grief, even on a small level, like, you know, everyday people like us, and what do you leave behind when you die, and what, you know, how your loved ones talk about you, and how you're remembered is all, I don't know. It's just interesting.
Yeah, interesting definitely.
Stuff to think about.
I even actually thought on a similar note, it's interesting seeing the aftermath of a tragedy like that from the perspective of someone that wasn't the powerful figure. Like having her being the first lady and, you know, obviously the president is the most important part of that relationship. Like they're in the White House because of him and all of this is happening because of his position. Mm. And to have that suddenly just disappear, you know, she didn't even know, she didn't have a place to live, you know, like what happens when it's just so interesting
to totally.
Think about the logistics of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just something you sort of never consider. You see, you hear about an assassination, you see the parade and the funeral, but you don't sort of stop and think like there's a family there, like they have kids, they need to go on with their lives. Like what happens? I found that really interesting. Not that they went into super amounts of detail, but it was sort of looming over
glimpses of that. I agree. That's really interesting. There's that great scene just after he's shot where they're back on the plane and she's only just wiped the blood off her face.
Mm.
And then the vice president is sworn in and she has to go out there and like watch it. And it's just like, fucking hell. Like, just leave her alone. Like, it's crazy. And she has to sort of, you know, they're all somber, but they're also like shaking hands and hugging each other. Like, because that's the transition of power to the vice president now. And it's just like, there's something a bit wrong and off about it.
Totally. And you can see it just like just under the surface on him and his wife. Like, you know, obviously it's an enormous opportunity and suddenly he is now the president of the United States, something that he's presumably wanted to be for his entire life or whatever, you know what I mean? Like
he's fighting not to smile.
Basically. Exactly. It's like obviously tragic circumstances, but his life has suddenly just changed in the opposite way. Like now he's got everything because of this horrible event. Yeah,
exactly. And that links back too to that scene later where, Lee Harvey Oswald gets shot and they all see it on the news. And then Bobby Kennedy's like, don't tell her now. Everyone sit down. And the president, I can't remember his name, the new president, doesn't sit for a second, you know? And he's like, what did you say? You know, I'm the president. Don't you tell me to sit down or whatever. It's like, sit down, mate.
That's funny too, because I didn't even think about that, but that's another example of it sort of tying back into people, you know, having control over the way things are represented. Like, they didn't want Jackie, or Bobby didn't want Jackie. He was manipulating the image of the news, or, you know, what the situation was in order to protect Jackie, presumably, at that moment or whatever. Like, it's... Yeah, there's a lot of that kind of manipulation going on, and I don't mean that in like the sinister sense, just in like the way they maneuver around things and shift things so they look different
from
different angles.
Yeah, totally. And Jackie does it a few times as well. Like, we're going out the front of the plane and I'm going to take the kids out so everyone can see them, so people know what this has done. And that's all very interesting.
Yeah, and I agree also with what you said earlier about its depiction of grief and how it stylistically ties that in. I specifically thought of that in the moment. Like, it's sort of, it's quite coy with how it depicts the actual assassination and you only sort of see glimpses of it. And then it's almost like she's been repressing that memory until the very end, when it kind of floods back to her and we as an audience get to witness like the entire thing, and her cradling him, and the camera kind of hangs over them as you see his like, shattered head in her.
It's an incredible shot.
Yeah, it is really great. But I did think of that when I was watching it, that it was impressive in the way they used the filmmaking style to sort of convey, like you said, the way you go through grief and the way things pop up at certain moments, and it doesn't all just happen in linear fashion. Things trigger things, and
exactly.
I mean, we're like talking about it with you is making me appreciate the film a lot more, but I do think just as a film going experience, it's not particularly enjoyable. And I know, like we said at the beginning, it's not meant to be, but there is, I think what you said was very true at the beginning, that there is a relentlessness to the grief and the kind of acting with a capital A that by the end
yes.
does wear yeah. you down a little bit, which perhaps in not a good way. Especially without a sort of narrative hook. Not to say that this needed one, and I think I much prefer this presentation than trying to turn it into some sort of thriller or something. But without that, it's the constant grief is perhaps a little bit more taxing on the viewer. Because that's sort of all you've got to latch onto is her character and watching her character.
Yeah.
But overall, it sounds like we're positive on the film, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say very positive. As we've mentioned, the technical side is the highlight, as well as the acting. And there is a lot to sort of chew on and interesting tidbits here and there. But as I said, if I was going to recommend it, I would have a little footnote or whatever and just say, you have to be in a certain mood to see this. But yeah, like exceptionally well-made, well-crafted film.
Definitely. Completely agree. We're on the same page as usual.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Pre-Post Film Review. We want to hear from you guys, so you can email us at prepostfilmreview@gmail.com. We reply to every single email we get, so thanks.
Yeah, that'd be great. You can also get in contact with us on Twitter. We're at prepostfr. We sort of post random news stories and updates about the episodes that we're doing over there. You can find us on Facebook as well. So give us a like or leave us a comment. That'd be really awesome. The most important thing, however, is to subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever podcasting service you're using to listen to this right now. We're kind of on everything. And if you like the show, leave us a review. That'd be really cool.
That would be great. And if you're not sick of us, you can also follow us on Letterboxd, which is a great film website. There's links in the show notes. Follow us there. You can see what other films we've been watching, and we can see what you've been watching if you want us to. And we can just be a big, happy family. So let's do that. Thanks. You can join us next episode as we're going to be talking about the new M. Night Shyamalan film, Split. Or will it not be us talking about it?
Pablo
Lorraine.
It's going to be a lot of great stinger material like we did with the Denis Villeneuve. It'll be like Pablo Larraín. Pablo Larraín.
All right, I'm just going to say it like a dumb Aussie.
Yeah.